I was 5 years old and I knew there was something wrong. I couldn't put a word on it like transsexual. I don't even think the word transsexual had been coined then. When I was 5 years old, I was mistaken as my younger brother's elder sister for a period of a couple of weeks. And I realised that far from finding this embarrassing or anything else, I liked it. And I wanted to be his elder sister, and I felt more comfortable in that role. And of course, the whole family were denying it and having a laugh about it, but I felt embarrassed about it, and I didn't want it to change back.
Right, so you're embarrassed, not proud? Because I sort of expected you to say the word proud there.
No, I was embarrassed by it. You see, as a child, one of our prime instincts is to be wanted and to be accepted. So here I was in a little boy's body wanting to be accepted and everybody mistaking me for a little girl. So I was almost being told, you know, I'm the piece of the jigsaw that doesn't fit. And I wanted to comply. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be loved. The other thing about transgenderism, transsexuality, call it what you will, the condition is known as gender dysphoria. Dysphoria being the opposite of euphoria, being that unhappy with your gender. It's actually, it comes and goes. It's in waves throughout your life. And you keep on thinking, I can live with this. I can live with this. And then it's like the tide will come back in and wash over the beach.
Because you did live with it. I mean, you were married, you had children.
I've got three children. I think one of the great mistakes that people make about this is they assume that we've all been homosexual males. Well, about 80% of us have been heterosexual males. About 80% of us have been married and got children. And it's surprising how many transsexual women have a history of being in the forces earlier in life during this reinforced I'm butch, I really am butch type of period in their life. I mean, I certainly used to race cars and I have a pilot's license, for example, trying to prove that I was a guy.
Did you think you were gay?
No.
Never?
I've never fancied a guy at all. Although, I'll say this with a smile on my face, it's quite questionable whether I'm gay now, because I was always attracted to women and I still am. So does that now make me gay?
Yes, have you turned yourself inadvertently into a lesbian?
Oh, quite probably, yes.
Tell me about, we talked about the fact, we mentioned the fact that you were married, mm-hmm. and you had children. When you go into a relationship, when you went into your marriage, did you indicate to your wife that there was this sort of puzzled side of your character, this gender dysphoria?
No. No, I didn't.
Do you regret that?
I don't know about regret. I don't really believe in regret. I'd resolved, I guess by late teens, early 20s, that this was a deep, dark secret. This was something really nasty within me. And of course, everybody assumes it's unique until you get in a room full of people who all had exactly the same experiences. You assume this is unique, and I decided that I was going to bury this in a very deep hole and it would stay there all of my life and it would be a secret I'd take to my grave.
That must be very, very difficult. Does that sort of rot away inside you?
I think you've just expressed that very well indeed. I said I was going to take it to my grave with me. I don't want to be over macabre, but I reached the point where I was planning my suicide because I just could not live anymore. And I realised that I didn't want to die without people knowing who I really was.
There is another area of confusion here, I think, for a lot of people, which is cross-dressing. There are some men who don't want to be women, who just enjoy wearing women's clothing. How do you decide which side of that boundary you fall? I mean, you are a woman, you wanted to be a woman, and you are a woman now.
Thank you.
Part of that process must have been wanting to look like a woman. Now, there are some men who just want to look like women occasionally, but they don't want to be a woman.
I know a number of transvestite men, cross-dressing men. The big distinction is, do you want to be her tomorrow morning or do you want to be him tomorrow morning? And, of course, they want to be him. Oh, you know, I'm still Jim or whatever on the inside. Whereas when I was a child, I used to go to sleep and pray before I went to sleep that I would wake up a little girl. Now, the idea of dressing as a woman was never a big deal to me, and I never wanted to cross-dress until I was able to transition. In fact, I didn't really cross-dress.
Didn't you experiment? I mean, I find that quite strange. Didn't you think, yeah, do you know what? I'm all right, yes.
A little bit. But the idea of doing what I see some transvestites do, and I mean, there are plenty of clubs where they go. There's a regular transvestites night out throughout the UK. I get on with them. We have a laugh together, but we're in a different place. And they recognise me straight away, the same as I recognise them, because I don't have the eyelashes that are 4 inches long and silver and the sort of 8-inch heels.
You're sounding a bit judgmental now.
Okay, I'm judging.
Not your look.
No. I went to a specifically transvestite festival and someone asked me how I felt about it. And I said, I felt like a woman looking on at people doing something else. And that's exactly how I felt. That's exactly how I feel. I am a woman. Since I've been able to live 100% of the time in a female gender role, accepted as that in my community, it's like I suddenly found out after all these years that I should have been left-handed. And when I stopped picking up the pen in my right hand and started picking it up in my left hand, life made sense.
You talked about acceptance in your community. Do you find that you are accepted, or are people unkind?
I'm glad to say a small minority of people can be unkind. The vast majority of people are kind. They accept me for who I am. They refer to me as Joanne. They refer to her. I walk into shops and it's, hello, love, how are you today? All the sort of things which you can imagine I dreamed of being part of my life all of my life. That happens in the vast majority of cases. A small minority, mostly males, seem to see me as some kind of threat or reason for ridicule.
So what happens? Do people shout at? Have you been shouted at?
Oh, yeah, sure. I've walked past the grammar school where I live and had the teenage boys think it's absolutely great to shout across the road to me. Sort of things like, whoa, tranny in a frock, and all the rest of it. Now, they might think that's funny. Actually, particularly early in transition, that sort of thing can do a lot of damage. You just wind up at home sobbing your heart out. And the trick I learnt was very simply this. I imagined that when I'd been born and I was a single birth, that my mother, in fact, had twins and she'd had a girl. And her name was Joanne. And how would Joanne respond if she heard some teenagers shouting about trannies across the road? She just assumed they were talking to somebody else. And it took me a few weeks' practice, but I learnt that.
Can I come back to your transition to where you are today? And the actual moment when you say, enough is enough. You talked earlier on about the thought that you might take your life. What happened? What was the make-or-break incident?
I had been suffering severe depression for 2 years. Depressed to the point where I couldn't work for 2 years. Because this thing builds up. I talked about tides coming in and out. Well, this is the big high tide that you know is going to happen. You know, this is a spring tide. And it just builds up in your life. I knew I was lying to myself. It was destroying me mentally. And I reached a point where I could not go on. I could not see a way that I could transition because I realised that I would do huge damage potentially to everybody around me. I couldn't not transition because that was just to continue living a lie. And I planned my suicide. And the day before, I realised I couldn't go through with it. I didn't have the courage to do it. Following morning, first thing I ran my GP surgery, said I want to see Dr. X. I can see you next Tuesday. I said, no, I need to see him this morning. This is a matter of life and death, and I'm sorry to be melodramatic, but it really is. And he saw me at the end of surgery, and I know precisely the words I said to him. I said, look, I'm either insane or I'm transsexual, to which he said that he didn't think I was insane, and I was off and I was on a journey. You go from GP. GP refers you to a local psychiatrist. if that psychiatrist believes that you are, I think the term they used was on the balance of probability, transsexual, they will refer you to a gender identity clinic. You then go onto a waiting list at GIC. You then wait several months. You go to the GIC. You go through a period of probably around 6 months being assessed by specialists and psychiatrists. And in the end, they come out with a diagnosis. And in my case, they came out with a diagnosis of primarily transsexual.
Once they've decided that, and you know, maybe in some ways, maybe it's a good thing that it's a prolonged process because it gives you and them time to think.
I now agree.
Right.
You don't agree at the time.
No,
but looking
I should imagine
back,
it's agony at the time.
Looking back, it felt like forever and it felt like nothing was happening.
And how, at that point, do they start to help you to become the woman that you are?
At that point, they will help you get into full-time living if you're not already there. They will help you with hormone therapy. And let me say here and now, hormones make an enormous difference. They're probably the biggest single contributor. They help you with things like speech therapy to acquire a more feminine tone of voice, which I'm probably betraying now on the radio. They can help you with employment. They can help you with housing if you're running into problems. And finishes off with quite often surgery.
What about you? Did you go as far as surgery?
That's something I only discuss with lovers and doctors. So which medical school did you go to? I'm sorry, if anybody asks me that in a pub, that's the answer they'll get.
We're not in a pub, we're in a radio studio here.
Okay, no, I don't discuss it.
What about your relationship with your partner, with your wife?
My ex?
Your ex-wife.
Well, we had actually split up.
Right.
Before I started to transition. I think we split up through my depression. She couldn't live with that. She left me. We're actually quite good friends now. We sort of see each other a couple of times a month, really for the sake of our granddaughter.
Can you be like sisters?
I've suggested that to her, and at the moment she says, no, that's not on her agenda. The interesting thing is, I know three different couples who've stayed together through this. One couple I spent Christmas Day with. They've been married for 33 years. Jim is now Jennifer. And Val is still Val. And they're very happy together because they understand that the person on the inside is far more important than the exterior dressing, if you like.
Was your ex-wife, was she hurt when she discovered about you? Or was she pleased that you had found yourself and who you were and you'd been depressed?
No, she was very hurt. She was very, very hurt. She felt very betrayed. One of the reasons that I'm cautious about my identity is we have three children, and I don't want links to be made to my past because I'd hate to think that some spiteful lowlife would be able to track back through me, Google my kids and make a nuisance of themselves. They're starting to accept me. The whole family are starting to accept me now for who I am. And the way I explain that to myself is they've had to go through bereaving Dad before they could accept Joanne.
So Dad died, effectively?
In effect. They actually described it as a bereavement without a corpse.
You're taking your experience now, and you are trying to establish some kind of support network.
I am.
For transgender people.
I am indeed. There's a very good support network based in Manchester, and I've been aware for a while that people travel from all over the Midlands and the north of England, you know, from the borders, from the East Coast, all the rest, into Manchester once a month for meetings. That's part of what I've recognised. The other part of what I've recognised, and I touched on it earlier, is from the moment someone like me walks through their GP's door and says, I think I'm transsexual, through to treatment starting at GIC, Gender Identity Clinic, is not less than 12 months. And it's an awful, lonely period. Now, it seems to me that helping people who are either in that waiting list, because that's very valuable time, you can use that very positively, but it feels very negative unless you know what to do. Or people who are wondering if they should go to their GP and at this awful stage, it's a nasty secret, I must hide it, I can't possibly admit that to myself, let alone anybody else. To have a support group for people like that who can talk openly, frankly, meet others like them, I think there are a lot of people out there who would like to share the experience that I've experienced and a lot of other people, and that is when you do get in a room of 20 or 30 or 40 people like you. One, you recognise there are 20, 30, 40 people like you. Two, you recognise that, you know, when I was a child, I used to pray every night that I'd wake up a little girl. So did everybody in the room. You know, we all had these common experiences, and it's like you found that instead of not fitting in society, you found the corner of society into which you fit. And to that end, I'm starting something which will be York Leeds based, and I think I'm going to call it Tea Time York. Forgive the pun on tea, but literally we will do this on a Saturday tea time where people can go and meet somewhere private, somewhere quiet, somewhere safe, if they wish to come dressed in their life so far, that's fine. If they want to come dressed in their target life, if they want to be a bit of each, no one's going to care. And it's just somewhere where people can sit around, have a cup of tea, meet people like you, find out where help is available, and perhaps find a little bit of confidence in the direction in which you're going, or even find out that that direction is not where you ought to be going. I would like to see us be as tolerant as we possibly can be of people who are gender curious, because I think the stage of not knowing what you are is far harder than knowing what you are. I have to say, the idea of being a person hiding gender variance and lying to myself as well as everybody around me was far harder than being Joe, even though it's involved moving from a 7-bedroomed house to a 1-bedroom council flat. That's how happy I am.
Has that been difficult? I mean, no. You just touched on the change of lifestyle that's been involved.
I've gone from being comparatively wealthy to comparatively broke. But I don't care. I'm in a happy life. I like life. I'd sooner be me, broke, than be what I was with as much money as you like in the bank, because the money didn't matter. It didn't make me happy.
Some people will be unhappy hearing you speak on the radio. Some people will be offended, shocked, find it very difficult, say it's not normal, it's not right. What do you say to them?
People have often said to me, what made you choose living like this? Well, I didn't. I didn't have a choice in the matter. This is not a lifestyle choice. And as much as I can say I'm very happy now, I'm very much more happy than I was. I think, like a lot of people like me, had I been born male who never wanted to do anything else but swear along with his mates, drink pints, go to rugby matches and all the rest of it, I'd have been perfectly happy with that, but I didn't get that option because I have as much choice in the way I was born as I do about the colour of my eyes or my blood group. So if anybody wanted to phone me up and challenge me, and I'd welcome them phoning me and challenge me, I promise I'd be polite, but they've got to be prepared to answer the question. When I say, what colour your eyes, and they say brown, I say, ooh, I can't stand. How on earth can you tolerate people with brown coloured eyes on the earth? Because it's as rational to say that as it is to say transgender people should be put down at birth.